shit about Detroit. I've been guilty of talking shit about all types of towns, and I realize it's stupid, because there are beautiful, awesome people in every single one of these motherfucking places. So don't talk shit. Just find the cool people, stick with them, and all the shitty people can just eat a dick. Stick with the cool ones. That's my advice to you. I'm done talking shit about Detroit. I'm done talking shit about LA. Stupid people are everywhere. I got something nice to say. Yeah, I know this one dude, and he was talking mad shit about LA, you know, and it's like, you know, we're here right now, and there's a bunch of cool fucking people, and Vinny's cool as shit, and I'm having a great time, yeah! Surround yourself with cool people, and things will be okay. Tell all the dumb motherfuckers to eat a dick today. I'm done talking shit. I'm not gonna say mean things anymore. I love the cool people, the dumb people suck. Yeah, yo, yeah, yeah! I'm done talking shit about Detroit. I'm done talking shit about LA. There are nice people everywhere. I got something nice to say. Yo!
The Rogue Show, Friday night. Big shout out to all our kick-ass sponsors who make this happen every week. Clock Tower Pub, number one sports bar in all of Oregon. MMAMadhouse.com for all your local MMA needs. Vision Smoke Shop and Glass Distribution. Check them out at visionsmoke.com. Clinch custom mouth guards, best cards in the business at getclinched.com. My personal tattoo artist, Greg, down there at Ink Take Tattoo. Big shout out to him and the boys. Jax Media, man, kick ass. Whether you need a t-shirt, a web design, fight posters, they got you covered. GSL TV, the best place to find local eye pay-per-views for MMA, boxing, and Thai. Also, Revolver MMA. Big shout-out to Javier. I love that guy and his gear. He's running a kick-ass sale. Guys, go check him out. Big shout-out to Rear Naked Smoke and E down there. You guys, thank you guys for all the help tonight in the last couple days and all the love you guys show, MMAMadhouse.com. And you guys show Chris Gregory. Speaking of, we have the man behind MMA Topics. I guess he just got out of jail because we haven't heard from him in weeks. He's on the show tonight. We got Clinch Custom Mouth Guards is live with us. And my co-host and partner in crime and everything we do in this life, Lafaki. What's up, killer?
Well, I can honestly say that I haven't been in jail. Not that I'm saying I'm never going to go, but I haven't been in jail for a little bit, so. Hey. It's been busy, guys. It's been a wild ride. I'm ready to be on the Rogue Show tonight. Skip, man, what's up on Tough Enough? What's going on right now, right?
Tough Enough is rocking right now. Future Stars, we're seven fights in, and our girl hasn't fought yet.
I'm excited. I mean, honestly, look, Tabby Patterson, in my opinion, she stepped up to the plate. And I mean, you know, I mean, she's probably going to get armbarred or submitted. But if she can get a win here, that'll be great, man. I really hope she can do it, but it's an uphill battle, you know? I mean, Ronda Rousey's protege, come on. I mean...
Well,
tough.
I tell you what, there's a lot of shit going down this weekend, man. There's so many good events. You know, O'Plot Challenge 90 going down tomorrow. You guys don't want to miss that shit. Pro FC 52, M1 Challenge. Just a couple hours, we got Rough 11 set to go down. We got, obviously, everyone wants to talk about the Tough Enough finale. That shit's going down tomorrow. I tell you what, though, Canada, Australia, Brazil, Russia, and Asia own the MMA scene this fucking weekend. They all have much better cards than what I'm seeing here.
Well, like every weekend. every week that we're watching something from Russia. I mean, it's crazy. So, I mean, it's just a constant. O-Plot comes on, what, every week? Every other week?
Well, they do, it's funny because it used to be all Tammies on Wednesday or Thursday and all Pros on Friday or Saturday. But the card they did yesterday had Pros and Emmys with 6 and 6. So, but today, tomorrow's card, the Challenge 90 should be an all fucking pro card. I will tell you a good card going down here in the United States, and that's Bluegrass Brawls 10. You guys, Lexington, Kentucky, at the convention center there. You guys, get out there, check it out, man. Good guys, good people.
Are you sure?
Anybody who posts that I should be mayor, they're fucking good in my book.
See, that's kind of what's leading me. That's kind of what's leading me to wonder.
Right.
Hey, you know, fuck it, dude. If I was the mayor, man, this town would be pimped. First of all, I would get rid of all these fucking antique shops. Jesus Christ. How many antique shops does a fucking town need? And what I don't understand is how they're so fucking busy. Lebaki, you've been there. I got an antique mall right there on the corner. That thing has like 50, 60 people a day going in and out of it buying shit. I'm like, how the? There ain't nothing under like $500 in that shit.
It's because probably the only things they get in there are stuff people they already know that somebody's looking for it.
Every antique shop? Jeez, man. We got... Dude, they closed the old fucking Scentwise, man, just to put an antique shop there. Bastards. Chris, rocking it out. I see your shit all over. It's pretty cool, you know.
So there's no BFC this weekend?
No, we're taking December off, which... But we've been talking about doing a show in December because we're just like, man, December, like, no shows at all. But no, we're not doing a show. December 7th, we got, or December 6th, we got Blue Corner. December 7th, we got Invicta. We don't want to compete with Invicta by any means, you know what I mean? And then December 14th, we got Epic Fight Night. So it's kind of like, all, you know, we're all, you know, I mean, there's no need to do a show on those nights. There's already some shows going on, and we're coming back January 18th and then January 24th. So we're going to come back and do two shows in 7 days. On the 24th, we're going to do a single night MMA tournament at 155. You know, we were going to do a Grand Prix, but the fighters were like, no, we want to do one night. So, you know, we're talking to the commission right now to see what we can do about that. I just don't like the rules that they're going to give us. It's going to be like one 3-minute round.
What are the rounds? 1 3-minute?
Yeah, it'll suck because it'll be 1 3-minute round, but...
The fuck you know, what you do? Gonna... So you should do 4-man. The first fights are 2-minute round, or 2 rounds for the first round, and the second round for 3 minutes. That's 5. That's as much as you're allowed to fight.
Yeah, it's real odd. We're still talking to the commission about it, our sanctioning body, ISPF. I know one thing, we'll have Chuck Wolf as the referee, so there won't be no lay and pray, you know, at all. Like, he'll stand it up if there's no action. It's just one of those things we have to deal with to see what we can do. I mean, right now, What?
How many participants in your tournament?
I can barely hear you cutting out, but we have eight-man tournament.
Okay, 8-man, one night. That's not going to work.
Why not?
Because you're going to do one round for fucking 2 rounds of the tournament, one round of fighting for 2 rounds of the tournament.
I mean, that's the only way you could do it, Skip. It's like, well, we're forced into doing that. I mean, we're forced into it. I mean,
okay.
We can do it the other way. I mean, we're trying our best to do what we can to get it to where it's two rounds, you know. I mean, you know how I am. I want what's best for the fighters.
Dude, if you're going to do 8-man, dude, break it down into two tournaments. Hey, Beatdown's on with us, folks. Hey, how you doing, Beatdown?
Oh, I thought he was.
Hey, 925, who do I got? Okay, Chris, either way. Why don't you break it down?
Hey. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. What's going on, guys? It's Rick, Boomer.
Hey,
Rick.
Boomer,
what's going on? Hey, fuck that one round. How about you do Pride Rules and give him 10-minute round?
Yeah, I wish.
Kick through down opponent and everything, man. Fuck it.
Chris, why don't you break it down into two fights and tell the guys, hey, fuck, this is how we're doing it. We're going to have, you know, one round for each one of you guys the first event and then finish it off in the second event.
Because the fighters, we wanted to do that. We wanted to do a Grand Prix, but the fighters were like, we want one night. And the fans said they want one night. I mean, what can we do? You know, the fans want it. I mean, the fighters want it. They're the ones that are going to agree to the one round.
Look, we got Rick with us.
What if you did it like this? What if you did it like this? What if you did 2 4-man tournaments where the winner of each one faces off in a separate event as the main event?
There you go.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea at all. And you know,
yeah,
that'd be a
good
describing.
Because
then you give the guys, you know, the guys in the final a good camp. You know what I mean? Or at least, you know, 3 weeks or something like that. That's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, we got a great guy, individual, man, great fighter out of California, somebody who I've known for a while now and respect a lot. You're hanging out with us tonight. Look, you've kind of had a good career and been around a lot of fighters. Can you really tell how good a fighter is in one round?
Oh, fuck no, man. You know, I'm just warming up in one round. You know these guys, a lot of these guys, they want to finish real quick, but, man, I prefer to drag him into the deep waters, go to the third, fourth, fifth round, you know, really put an ass whooping on this guy and let him just break him mentally and physically.
Is that, you know, I got to ask you, was that your game plan to, you know, with the gist guy you faced?
No, I really didn't game plan specifically for him. You know, I trained just to be the best fighter I can be. I didn't really alter my training at all for him. We went in there, you know, there was a lot of hearsay back and forth. You know, they were saying that I'm a Division I wrestler and I'm a purple belt and I'm this and I'm that. So I could tell that he was more worried about the fight than I was. You know, I took the fight 3 weeks notice in a weight class above mine to help him out. You know, his fighter pulled out. So I was just trying to help him out and make sure that he still had his fight. You know, him being a black belt didn't intimidate me at all. So I didn't even focus on that.
Now, I'm just curious, you know, how much are you going back to the camp that started all this? You know, how much has that helped your game and your mental since, recovering and everything?
Oh, man, it's huge. I'm not going to lie. You know, it helps my confidence 100% going in there. It doesn't matter who I'm facing. I mean, I'm training with guys like Nick and Nate Diaz, you know, so that's why I'm not worried about, you know, their attributes or their skills. I'm just focused on sharpening all my tools.
Oh, sorry. Hey, just for all the fans out there, why don't you give everybody a shout-out, tell them who you are, where you're fighting at, and what your record is, so all the fans listening know who we're talking to.
Oh, right on. Yeah, definitely. It's Rick Boomer Rieger. I'm from Barrie, Concord, California. You know, I'm a Gracie fighter. I'm also representing a small school over in Martinez, California, FKI Fitness. You know, real quick, huge shout out to my boy Nate Diaz. He's fighting tomorrow in UFC. I bounce around a lot. You know, I'm training with Nick and Nate Diaz in Lodi. I'm training with Gilbert Melendez in San Francisco. I make it out to Sacramento to train with Alpha Male sometimes, with Coach Dwayne Bang. I'm all around, man. You know, I'm just trying to improve all my tools. Like I said, I'm trying to challenge myself continuously and always grow as a fighter. Right now, I'm 6-0. You know, I got a couple of things lined up in the future. Hopefully that they go through. I've been talking to World Series, been talking to Bellator. I'm hoping that one of these big opportunities will bust for me.
Well, boy, that's, you know, I'm glad to hear that. You mentioned
Do you have any fights scheduled right now, Rick?
Nah, unless somebody has something they want to throw me, I'm ready.
That's what I like about it, man. I mean,
yeah, you know what, man? Like I told you guys last time when I was on here, man, I've been fighting in the street for free for so long, man. When a money opportunity pops up, I got mouths to feed. You know, I'm not scared. I'm ready.
It's such a dying art, it seems, in this sport today. Too many athletes fight, not enough fighters show up athletic. So it's great to see a fighter who's athletic because it is a difference. You know, you're always out there to finish. You know, you're trying to, hey, I'll fight anybody. You went up a weight class on 3 weeks' notice and fought somebody theoretically on paper supposed to be better than you, but you showed him
wrong. That's all I was hearing. One thing that was helped motivate me on this fight too is that you know, they're on Facebook fucking posting shit left and right like I'm an ignorant fuck and I don't have no media access or something. You know, they're over here saying, "Oh, this guy's gonna tap you out. Don't go to the ground with him. It's too risky." I ended up choking this motherfucker out the second round. And then you know what I did the next day. Hey, check it out. You know what I did? And no disrespect to him, by all means. You know, I'm a respectful dude. Anybody that prepares to get in the cage, you know, I'll give you props. But so the next day I took a picture with my fucking white belt and put it on Facebook for him.
That's tough.
Hey, to Jørn in Norway, that is his Facebook page. Ms. Sherry just posted in the thread. So make sure you're following him. We got our boy in Norway jamming out the show tonight. He's trying to figure out who you are, so we're helping him out. We're going to make you famous worldwide. Look at that.
Oh, right on, guys. Appreciate that.
Dude, and I appreciate Ms. Sherry for throwing that up in the thread. You know, hey, we're talking, you know, this show is different than the show that you normally come on, which is more like suit and tie kind of shit. This show, you know, no holes barred kind of shit. You mentioned, you know, one of your training partners, Diaz. Does he sub, KO, or decision win Maynard?
Oh, man, he's going to fucking knock Maynard out, bro. He's going to fucking knock this kid out, bro. I'm telling you right now.
Yep.
I know how the first fight went. He punched him up. He fucking forced him to get the submission ban. Second fight, they won the fucking bullshit like it was a decision. Like it was Grant Maynard won the decision. I still think Nate outpointed him. But, man, this dude is so focused. This whole training camp that I've been working with him, man, this guy's work ethic is fucking unbelievable. It's inspiring for me to even be able to train with a dude like that.
Anybody else have the decision going a different way?
No way. Fuck that.
You got Diaz. How about you, Lopaki?
Yeah, I got Diaz winning. I got him winning the decision, though.
Chris?
Oh, come on. No, I'll never go against the Diaz brothers. Come on now. I got Diaz winning a second round guillotine.
Nice.
Yo.
Just because I know Gray's going to shoot. You know what I'm saying? He's not trying to stand up because he'll get peppered. He'll get peppered with punches the whole time, and he's going to try to take it to the ground as much as he can.
Exactly.
I mean, he does have some power, too, but, I mean, I just don't see him wanting to stand up. But there's a Diaz brothers have a different kind of striking. They're more boxer type where they pepper you instead of knock you out. They just pepper you to death.
You know what? I know from personal experience that that shit is fucking irritating and it's that shit forces you to fuck up, you know?
Yeah, but you know, I think, you know, as somebody standing across from that, you know, you've got to look at that implementing your game plan. When you can get in there and do the quote-unquote stock and slap till you irritate somebody so fucking much that they're getting out of their game plan. They're getting frustrated. So I think it's a smart, you know, it's very smart. And usually when they're on point, both brothers with that jab, you're not beating them up. They're picking you apart. So start getting you to, you know, cover up. Next thing you know, you're eating body shots. You're eating kicks. So I like that game plan.
You know what the thing is, too, is that just because they're peppering you up doesn't mean these fuckers don't hit hard. Because everyone in there is going to sneak in there. It's going to be a power shot. It's going to catch you off guard.
That's true. Now, I know there's a bunch of other fights on the card. What do you think? We'll start with you, Rick. What do you think about Juliana Pena versus Jessica Rakosi?
Man, you know what? That girl, Juliana, she is a beast. Now, I get, Jessica? Her boxing was on point, man, and her takedown defense looked real good that last fight. But I think she's going to get overwhelmed. She's going to see what it's like fighting a all well-rounded mixed martial artist. It's going to really just put her out of her element.
Lepaki, what do you think?
I got Julie winning. Submission, late second round.
Jeff, that's your girl.
I'm with Rob, second round sub.
Now, see, Chris Gregor over MMA Topic.
Same thing here. I just think Jessica Rakosi is just, I mean, she's great. Standing up, I don't think she's going to have it. I just don't think she's going to have what it takes. Because Juliana's a beast.
All of you guys, I'm picking Jessica, and I'm picking a decision, and I'm going to tell you why, and it's super simple. I believe...
She's from Terrebonne?
No, she ain't from fucking Terrebonne, but you know what? I believe for a fight this big in her career with somebody who has such fucking experience in the combat sports... And a coach like the Black Cobra getting her ready for this, she's going to pull it out. Straight the fuck up, man. You're going to tell me that Dewey Cooper will not have her on fucking point. You guys are wrong.
Won't matter.
He'll have her on point on the feet. I mean, obviously. But I mean, I just don't think so. I'm not saying that she has no ground game. Because she beat people on the show that I thought were going to destroy her. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, I thought she had no chance.
I thought
she had no chance.
I think that Jessica can use her stand-up and her reach to keep her back and to slow down them takedowns.
Keep eating those medibles.
Yeah, dude, I keep eating those medibles and keep smoking my weed, but the fact don't change that that's what I think. I'm telling you, Juliana she's good fighter, but her hands are sloppy, and you get in there with a technical fighter like that, and she's going to get picked apart. And she then at that point,
yeah,
she's going to...
If she lands a lot heavier blows than Jessica Rakosi does, though.
That's true.
At least in the fights I've seen.
Punch so hard.
That's true. I'll give you that. I can give you. You know, we're talking about basically a Hendricks versus a Diaz here. You know, I mean, we got somebody who's going to come in and try to bulldog their way with a power fucking shot, and then we got somebody who's going to be more clean and technical and try to keep it, you know, more of a boxing style fight.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was pretty impressed with her takedown defense in her last fight. I will say that. He did show a little bit of wrestling, too.
It's, you know, I mean, obviously we all know that's why they get in the fucking cage and duke it all out. So let's drop down to the finals for the bantamweight men's. David Grant, Chris Holdsworth, Lepaki, who do you got winning that?
Holdsworth, submission, second round.
Topics, what do you got, buddy? He's got a wife yelling at him right now. That's why he's not on here.
Oh, shit. My phone was muted for some reason. No, I got Holdsworth all day. I was trying to say that while Lepaki was saying it. So, when I knew he was on the show, I knew he was probably going to win it. you know what I mean? I had him and Anthony Gutierrez going all the way, but obviously Gutierrez didn't make weight. So, yeah, now we see Nate Grant and Holdsworth. Upsetting.
Rick, what do you think about that fight?
Oh, man, you know, I got to go with the Sacktown kid, Holdsworth, man. He's going I think the same thing. He's going to choke this guy out, bro. He's going to submit him. He's going to submit him for sure.
I think that's a clean sweep. We all kind of agree with that one. So let's jump down to the one some of us don't agree with. Let's talk Jessamyn Dukes versus Daywalker, Peggy Morgan. Who do you got and why, Jeff?
You know who I got. I got Jessamyn Dukes. Cause
really?
She's better. She's more rounded. She's going to smash her.
Lepaki.
She's going to stop her. Give me a TKO. Round two. On the ground.
I know you ain't got no wife killing at you, so.
You know what?
I said, I know you ain't got no wife yelling at you, so I know you're not muted up unless you're doing an eight ball and killing a hooker. Then he might have it muted.
It is Friday night, huh?
My sinuses are a little clogged up. I could use some cleanser. I'm kind of torn on this fight, but I think ultimately that I'm just going to win a decision.
See, I'm going Peggy Morgan decision. I think they're going to end up standing up and banging it out. I just think Peggy will have the better.
I think Jessamyn Duke is probably going to take it with nasty knees. I mean, she's just so tall. I think she's going to take this one with knees. I'm even going to call it.
Yeah, she is very tall, though, huh? How tall is she?
Well, 6'1 for Peggy and 5'11 for Jessamyn.
Man, some big chicks.
Hey, Beatdown, is that you, brother?
What's happening, man?
Hey, welcome to the party, man. We're just breaking down tomorrow night's card. You're on with MMA Topics, Clinch Cut the Mouth Guards, a kick-ass fighter out of the West Coast, Rick Rieger. You got to check him out. He's a good guy, man. Great fighter. And then Beatdown, everybody, he's on the show. We're actually talking about the Peggy Morgan, Jessamyn Dukes fight. Who do you got in it, brother?
Oh, put my man. I just tuned in, but I'm gonna go with Peggy.
Boom. How about you, Rick?
Why? Why?
Man, I'm going with Peggy myself, man.
Stand
Should
up,
be a
game.
Good one,
Lepaki, what is? Wasn't she ranked? In her boxing career, correct?
Who?
Peggy? Am I thinking about somebody else? Wasn't it like a 22 she was a boxing? Yeah, maybe they could fight about it. Oh. Okay, well, yeah, for some reason, but okay, obviously we got another good fight coming up, which is going to be, I think, a fight a lot of people should pay attention to, and I'm curious what everybody, Walt Harris, Jared Rochal, who do you got and why? Chris Gregory from Topics.
Dude, I got that big black monster, dude. Jesus, that dude is huge. I know that he trains, got an ATC because Andrew Whitney's always posting pictures with him. I got that dude. He is a monster, man. There's no way Rochal's going to beat this guy. There's no way. I just don't see it happening.
Walt Harris was mean, brother.
What'd you say? Okay, not everybody talk at once. I'll be honest, I got Jared. I think Jared's just an all-around better fighter. I think Jared's going to pull this out.
By decision, maybe.
I know. I think it's going to be a
big ticket. The big ticket's going to bring home the big win and maybe KO of the night.
It's going to be ugly.
Ooh.
Definitely the big ticket all night long in that one.
You like the KO win, huh? I think TKO round three, but you're going KO.
In the first.
Well, dude, he's finished how many fucking fights in the first? You know, he's pretty vicious. But the thing is, he's got a ground game, too. Don't forget, I mean, he started out his career with some submission wins.
Yep.
Yeah, and he is a big motherfucker, dude. But they both came in at 240, and they, you know, I will say that Walt looked a little better, but I think Jared's one of those just, like, Roy Nelson tough sons of bitches. You know, he don't finish very easy.
No, but I think that Walt will be a lot more athletic since he's coming from a basketball background.
Do you think Walt has enough KO power to put him out?
Well, yeah, I think it, when you're at that level, any heavyweight can put any heavyweight out.
Whoever lands first.
Unless you're fighting Roy Nelson, then you maybe not be able to put him out. But outside of that,
that's got moral power.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure outside of that, that they're all hit. You know, night can happen to any of them.
Very true. Okay, what other fights are on that card? Oh, who thinks Maximo Blanco is going to get torn apart by Kara?
I have Blanco losing.
I say Corazon is going to win that fight absolutely by knockout. I'm excited for Joshua Sopo versus Ryan Benoit. I definitely think that's one of the best fights on the whole card. Joshua Sopo is going to smash that dude tomorrow.
I hope so, because Benoit at weigh-ins looked like a little prick.
I actually kind of hope that Benoit wins, because then the fact that he lost to Berchek looks even better.
That's fucked up. I want Sopo to win because he's been fighting around here for a long time. That's one of the main reasons.
Well, no,
I actually think Sopo will win. But, I mean, you know, if I was, like, kind of thinking about some weird angle I could take with it, I would think that it's better for Berchek if Benoit wins tomorrow.
I think it would be better if he lost, because then you give validity that he is not only the champ, but the last guy to give him any type of fight couldn't hang in the UFC. So obviously, you know, that's where Anthony should be.
What? You think that if Benoit loses, that means Anthony belongs in the UFC? I think if Benoit wins, that would mean Anthony belongs in the UFC.
Yeah, I think either way, he belongs in the UFC, so I don't think there's really an argument about that.
Yeah, that's true. That's fucking really true.
I'll just say it. And Shafur Wan standing at arm choke. So, there you go.
Yeah.
I hope Tammy's not suspended because she's fighting for our belt next. Shit.
When's that fight?
January 18th. It's far away. As long as she didn't get put to sleep, she'll be fine.
Oh, man, at least it wasn't that Shannon Reed. She got doctor stoppage. You know you got some break speed off you if the doctor says no more.
Right?
Or you got a ref too stupid to know when to stop a fight. Like, that's ever happened.
Yeah, I also forgot Drew Dober is fighting on the card tomorrow versus Sean Spencer at 170 pounds. I don't know what Drew Dober is thinking. He's a 155-er, but I guess when you get that call from the UFC, you take it. I hope Drew Dober pulls it off. I really do, man. That dude, he's worked his ass off to get where he's at right now.
Well, that's just like Ben Wall. He's like a featherweight, and he just took a short notice fight with UFC at welterweight too.
Yeah.
I mean, just to get, I don't know, just to get a fight there, you know? I mean, that's just, man.
Look.
Way under your weight class.
Okay, look, let's be honest. You take this fight and you lose it, it's not like they're going to be like, dude, you were so fucking stand up, man. Here's a two-fight extension. I guarantee, unless it's like some amazing fight of the night shit, you know, these guys who keep stepping up at the UFC and taking fucking weight class fights that they shouldn't be, they're not going to, if they're not super successful, they're not going to last very long.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
I mean,
I would rather wait until you got to fight in your own weight class. But, I mean, you know how it is. It's the opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah, but you're seeing
right now. Sign your life away.
You're seeing less.
These motherfuckers just get talked into it.
No shit.
You know, Rick, we got you here. You're a professional fighter. Look, I want to ask you a question. Okay, we're not going to get into stupid stipulations and all that, but you're offered one fight for the UFC for 5-5, or you're offered four fights for ONE FC for 3-3. Which would you take?
You know what, man? To be honest, I want the organization that's going to invest in me. I don't want the organization that's going to take one and done and be on their way. You know, these guys are getting ran through the UFC left and right. I mean, you're talking about the ONE FC, Aoki, right? That's kind of what he decided to do. Stay with the organization that's invested in him rather than go to the UFC and risk one good pay and then getting cut anyway, having to start all over.
Like it. Now, you know,
you know what? I just want to say it bothers me with the media and some people are saying about Aoki, oh, he can't hang over here. I mean, come on. He lost to Melendez, and he lost to Eddie Alvarez, and there's no shame in that at all. And he could definitely fucking hang in UFC. I just want to let that be known.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I don't think that was his decision why not to come over. I think it was just, like I said, he wants the organization that's willing to invest in him. You know, these guys are going to cut him down, use him up, and spit him out anyway. You know,
yep.
At least this organization is showing them, hey, we actually give a fuck about you. We're going to reach out and pay you more since they're going to offer you that money. We'll pay you this money. Stay here.
Now, it's funny you say that. Magnavar and Wang, tonight's main event for Rough 11 China, both were offered contracts by the UFC and ended up staying in Rough and making this card the main event tonight.
Well,
you know?
Not by choice. Not by choice.
No.
Choice.
Okay, you're right on that, but the offer that Ruff made to those guys and said, look, stay here, this is what we'll do, without getting into specifics, helped make that decision very easy, you know?
Yes, because he released
his 185 champion to go fight TFC Africa, let him walk away with two fights left on the contract. He's not got a problem with that. But certain fighters like these two, who he said he's invested so much time, money, and effort into building his organization around, that he's like, I need to give them compensation to stay, and that's why it made the decision very easy. Yes, he could have gone to the Wushu Federation and said, look, these guys aren't going nowhere. Bam, done. But then he would have two unhappy fighters. But and I'm not just talking about this league. Look, we've seen it. You know, there's been a lot of fighters around the world that are champions and top 10 guys, you know, that most U.S. fighters who are Zuffa fucking zombies don't know shit about. But you're telling me right now, with Yushin Okami not being in the UFC, wherever the fuck he wants to fight, he's a top 10 fucking fighter, period. So if you're fighting him, you're fighting legitimate fucking competition. And if you can get paid by a company internationally, in your own backyard, long term, I say fucking take it.
I agree 100%, man.
I mean, who just got cut?
Nobody's not saying to take it. You can't say that those guys chose to stay there. They kind of were. They didn't really have many options.
Maybe those guys.
Magomedov had signed with the UFC.
But we've seen a lot of Asian fighters. Dude, we've seen a lot of Asian fighters in the last 2 years turn down UFC contracts. Fuck, we're seeing Russian fighters turn down contracts now. I mean, with the explosion that they're having, you know, and their fighters now being able to go into Asia and China both to fight. I mean, it's just reality. I mean, more and more guys are choosing to fight in other places besides Zuffa. And I'm not saying Zuffa isn't a great organization with top talent. I'm just saying, usually I say they're not, but I'm saying for this fucking statement that, you know, there are plenty of top-tier talent outside the UFC that fighters can go to. They don't have to strictly sign their lives away for a one-shot deal with the UFC.
No.
Yeah. Damn, everybody got so fucking quiet. What the fuck?
Well, he is the only one that's quiet.
I was talking shit this whole fucking time. Don't make me get on graffiti now.
This ain't Google Hangout. You can't, like, sit there and have, like, cool little chimes after everybody says something.
Hey, I want to ask Rick. Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
I know you live down in the world of spray paint. How fucking old does that shit get, having to see that shit all the time?
What's that? Seeing what all the time?
All that tagging shit from gangbangers.
Oh, man. You know what? To be honest, I don't even really pay attention to it. Half the time, these motherfuckers can't spell when they tag. They tag the wrong shit anyway.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's classic. Oh. Okay, so, fuck, dude. We got just a ton of fights going down. We got Valor 6 going down, Thunder Strike Fight League, DJ the Protege Linderman gonna beat up Kidda a second time to take his title back home where it belongs. We got Rough 11, URCC 24, M1 Challenge 44, the Ryan Macker Championships. What up, man? There's a lot of shit going down.
Smoke pot.
Oplot Challenge 90. Rick, if you don't know about Oplot, it's crack. It's Russian MMA.
Yeah,
I fucking love that shit.
I don't know
shit.
About it.
Oh, every like Wednesday or Thursday is their amateur card, and every Friday or Saturday are their pro cards. And what got us turned on is a group of Pacific Northwest fighters went over there. What was it, 4 or 5 guys? And that's when I first found out about them. And, yeah, it's just some straight-up fucking Russian fucking gangster MMA that's broadcast every week. It's so good.
Nice.
These guys,
where can I find this shit at?
Oh, it's on YouTube. I'll tag you every time they come on this week. Dude, straight up, when you come to the cage, you can either be taped up or bare-knuckle, and then they tape your gloves at the gate.
Fucking gangster.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Lepaki's a huge fan of Oplot. I make sure of it.
Yeah, I do like it. I like Oplot.
Yeah. And, dude, the fights are good, man. And it's held in this club. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, I like the announcer for Oplot.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, coming all the way from Sky Escola! I love that guy, dude. He sounds like he smokes like 15 packs of cigarettes a day.
Out of the motherland of Belarus, the bear.
Hey, Jeff, how current's that record, brother? That's
that says she was 33-3 as a pro boxer.
Yep, that's right.
Okay. Okay, just checking.
That's the action. That's like the boxing. That's a legit boxing sign right there.
Oh, yeah. Dude, hell yeah, Yorn, it is. You know, dude. I'm just on Russian MMA, man. Right now, don't forget, there's live Thai fights on. Thai TV 3 got it kicking.
Yeah, Thai TV 3, motherfuckers.
Rough China in a couple hours. Shit, we haven't even gotten into the next day, man. You got Alpha Fight. You got American Predator, Bluegrass, Hybrid 19, Sherbrooke against all that league up in Canada, Arise FC. Hey, did Brett Rogers win tonight? Does anybody know? I missed it.
I have no clue.
Yeah, he's fighting down in Brazil now. Gotta love that shit.
Who, Brett Rogers?
Yeah. He fought down in Brazil with that. They don't give two shits. They're like, dude, it's Brett Rogers. He's 6'9" and black. We think this is great.
What organization was that for?
Peru FC.
Yeah. Peru FC.
Oh, Peru FC?
Yeah. Man, dude, Rick, there's a lot of trade MMA going on down there, man. You got jungle fights. You've got Kambate.
A cup of coffee means purpose, Dave. A cup a day for a decade?
You got Kambate Extremo, which is Heath Herring's league. That's down in Central America. I mean, dude, like, every weekend this guy's got a killing, dude. They had the stand-up and fight tournament today. What else do we watch down there, LaPaccia? Oh, Betty,
Betty Combat.
Betty Combat, thank you. Yeah, there's
Jungle
a bunch of
fights,
good stuff.
Judo Brazil, WOX, what's that, WOCS, World of Combat, World of Combat Sports, or World of Combat Series, or... North Southern Argentina.
You gotta start getting up smoke, brother. RearMakingSmoke.net, man. They got fucking tons of MMA links and events, man. Like thousands of them ready to go. Okay. What else we got, man? You guys are being kind of boring fucking tonight.
Shit. Sorry, Skippy.
You've been gone for like weeks, missing in action, getting all touched
you
by hillbilly Arkansas.
Listen, the life of a matchmaker, bro, it can be hard at sometimes, all right? You know, I'm always looking for talent out here. Shit.
What are you putting
your
events on that?
I honestly feel like I'm on my computer from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep. It's ridiculous.
Watching porn doesn't count as working.
I know.
Fuck no.
He's at fattruckerlesbian.com. He's like, you can't drive.
Searching for talent.
Chris goes. He goes to the local rest area, sees who's up in the parking lot. He's like, hey man. You get $100, you show up to fight this weekend, homie. And they're like, oh, yeah, he's having bum fights at the fairgrounds. calling it MMA.
Yeah, they'll fight for free and giving him no travel. Fuck that.
Yeah. Chris, you run a gangster league. Don't lie, man. You guys are out there doing it hardcore. I mean, you guys are top dollar for that area, man. Their pros are getting like one and one, like $100 and $100 in a hotel room.
Yeah, yeah, I wish.
Oh, did you get the hotel room?
Honestly, I'm not even going to lie. I hope Travis Quarter doesn't kill me for this, but we overpaid the last the last pros. I'm not even going to lie. We overpaid the bastards. Sorry, Rome Lindsay. I apologize, bro, but we overpaid you, bro.
Can I get $36.50 back?
He should have got paid in tickets, but he got paid in purse, so. I'm just saying.
Next time, give him a T-shirt. Be like, what, this isn't good enough?
Right? Like, bro, you know, I already hooked you up with the Clinch Custom mouth guard. What else do you want from me, bro? Come on.
That's what I need, man. I need me a Clinch mouth guard.
I wonder if Jeff from Clinch Custom mouth guards can help me out with that question.
Yeah, he's already getting one. What are you talking about? He knows that. We just talked yesterday. I think.
What are you
getting for? Yeah, we're just a brisk.
What's getting on it?
I don't mind getting on it.
Whatever you want.
I didn't ask you, Jeff. I asked Rick.
Well, he gets two.
Rick, what design are you getting on your mouth guard?
You know, I'm gonna get Bomer across the front. Right across the front. I want it bright. I want it vibrant. I want it to show, stand out.
Well, I just want to let you know that whether you're into the world that I'm into or not, I just recently found out that you can get a mouth guard molded with weed in it.
What?
Yeah. How'd you imagine? Could you imagine showing up to Sparta and just smiling with a mouthful of weed in your guard?
What the fuck?
Do it.
I seen the lit up one, and I was like, damn, you know, that's weird. But that'd be pretty sick to have a mouth guard light up while you're fighting.
Yeah, you got batteries in your mouth. That's the problem.
Yeah,
you got
a throwing fucking target for someone to punch? No.
Head movement.
What if the mouth guard was like those shoes that light up, you know, when you walk on?
I was fucking just
right?
thinking.
What if every time you got punched, your mouth guard, like, lit up? Like, you know, he knew he was doing good. Like, oh, that was a good one. Pow, yeah. This one does.
It does three different lightings. So if you bite down or get hit, it will change three times. Then shut off, then come back on three times.
That'd be cool if you get a strobe light. So, like, when my big ass gets hit, and blind that motherfucker and just bow-bow. Right back at him. Bow-bow.
That might be good, man. That might be good for these fucking judges since they can't judge for shit. These motherfuckers need a light for a counter.
Dude, you know, and we can just get it to where there was just special glasses so only the judges could see when the mouth guards were lighting up so nobody else would really know what was going on. Dude, we might actually be onto something here.
I like the first idea I came up with. Let's put some weed in a mouth guard.
There you go. Fuck it.
Done.
Dude, that would be so sick, except you're going to have to jack the price up $10 a gram. Hey, Kyra beat Cheyenne via UD.
Yeah, we know. I mean, you did that a half hour ago, bro.
Bummer. I just looked on the fuck. I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here getting high the whole time. I just turned it on and looked. That's all our logo on our banner. That's what she, you know, she shouldn't have missed weight. That hurt her.
Well, Tara's a badass, too.
What's up with all these motherfuckers missing weight or not making weight?
Dude, you got me, man. I mean, it's like, it's becoming ridiculous. You saw the weigh-ins today. Was it Chris Benoit's opponent didn't make weight the first time?
Yeah, he didn't make weight the first time. I don't know. I'm about to go look and see if he made it the second time. I'm pretty sure he probably did. It was a short notice fight for him, so I give him the benefit of the doubt.
I think they don't make weight because they still get to fight 90% of the time. Too many of the fights get to go on. And one person's totally sapped out, and the other person is fresh and didn't have to cut all that weight. And so they get the win. The money is not that much, so it's not as big a deal. I just think people are weak, disciplined, and they kind of cheat. It's in the amateurs a lot. They know you're not going to go there, and the guy's not going to turn down the fight when his mom's there and his dad's there and his friends and family are all there to see him fight. He's not going to be like, no, I can't fight because he weighs 2 pounds more than me. And be like, fuck it, let's fight. And then just, I think it's weak to do, but see it over and over.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was new for the Ultimate Fighter show, though, for these motherfuckers just getting sent home off that shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an odd subject when it comes to the tough weight cut versus a traditional, you know, fighter like yourself who gets a camp, whether it's short, 3-week camp or a 4-week camp, but you get it in your facility. You're able to cut weight all the way up to the day of the show with very little infringements on that versus when you're on the show and the media and the little diary room and all the other issues of where you can't be at a gym at certain times. You know, I think that makes it tougher on those competitors, and I know that Zuffa don't want to show that, but we all know it to be true.
I can definitely see how there's variables, you know, that we don't get to see. But, I mean, as far as them cutting weight and making weight, those two dudes, man, they both just quit. They had a chance. They had an opportunity. I know, I mean, hey, it's not easy for everybody, but motherfuckers come in professional, they show up on time and make weight. Like the last dude, the guy you were just talking about, what's his name, Gutierrez, or... You're talking about, I drank the bath water. Come on, buddy, drink the bath water. Yeah, so you just got a free pass, and you're in the finals, and now you're getting sent home. Dana White's telling you to get the fuck out over 4 pounds, and you drink the bath water. That's ridiculous.
Very, I don't disagree, you know.
It wasn't even anybody's bath water worth drinking, you know. That was the worst part.
It ain't like Nicky K hopped out that bad.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad you said Misha and not Rhonda.
Trying to look and see if he came back in May late or not. I didn't say.
Oh, it was done all over.
What the fuck are all these MMA media sites that fucking cover this Ultimate fucking Fighter bullshit? I can't see shit. 1 hour to lose additional weight. Well, it's been like 6 hours, so I'm guessing you didn't make weight.
I think you made it.
You think so? I don't know. I haven't heard nothing of
it. Well, we had like, what, 1.6 pounds to go?
Yeah, it wasn't very much, really.
But still, the fact is that, you know, I mean, it's becoming more and more of an issue. And the thing is, fighters are becoming more and more cutting down to the 1 pound allowance, not even down to the weight.
Well, yeah, why would you go to the 135 if you only got to go to 136? I'm not going to cut an extra pound of weight if I don't have to. If you tell me I only got to make it to 136, I'm only going to 136.
I'm saying it should be 135. It shouldn't be 135.2, 136. It should be.
That depends what state you're in, though. That just depends what state. Because some only allow 0.8. Some allow 2 fucking pounds. I mean, I think Tennessee allows 2 pounds.
I just found out the state of Washington allows 6 if you're traveling.
Wow, that's...
Isn't that fucked up? Dude,
That's not Washington.
Yes, it is. Happened in the state of Washington. That's all that matters, folks that are listening to this show. Washington. Remember, and tell all your friends, 6 pound allowance if you're traveling.
Tell all your friends.
Straight up, I was sitting with two fighters the night before weigh-ins. Well, no, it was the night of weigh-ins. I take that back at a grand opening for their gym, their coach's gym. And they're, like, drinking beer and eating, like, hoagies and shit. I'm like, don't you guys got to weigh in tonight? And they're like, no, we weigh in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we get a six-pound allowance because we're traveling. And I'm like, what the fuck? I've never heard of that. That's great. I think everybody should get a six-pound allowance.
No, that's retarded.
I like that. Traveling, six-pound allowance. Nice.
Dude, yeah, how happy would you be if you could come in 6 pounds over your fight limit because you were traveling?
Oh, fuck. That'd be awesome, dude.
Jeff,
I flew out to L.A. from the Bay Area half fucking dead.
I would never fight it. I would never fight in my hometown.
Never, ever, ever.
I'd be like, fuck it, I'll come to your town, bro. Like, I'll just let me know when to be there. I'll show up in your town. You make sure you're at 136, and I'll be up there around 142, 143. It's all right.
Perfect.
It's all good, bro.
Way to go,
Jeff. Before 6 pounds over.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's the great state of Washington for you. Gotta love that.
That's shit. I've never heard nothing like that before.
Yeah. What was the event? Does anybody remember? Was it FAMA? Or was it...
It's the one that Standing does. Heather Standing just did. FAMA, right?
That was FAMA, though, I believe. It was either FAMA or that other company. Fuck, I don't know.
No, it was FAMA. That's they went just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
right,
FAMA.
There is... On the show the next
yeah, that's Leonard's event.
That's where it was.
Jeff, can I book you as a matchmaker and a sanctioning body and allow all my fighters 6 pound allowance to travel?
No.
I'm going to have every single guy on the card travel.
No one worked at that promotion. No one else is going to do that. That's crazy. I don't know how. I don't.
Hey.
How do you put 6 pounds? 6 pounds is drastic. Huge. That's not just. Everybody doesn't lose 6 pounds the day of weigh-ins. I mean, come on. That's not fair. That's a really rough drive there from Redmond, Oregon to freaking Vancouver, Washington. What is it? An hour and 15 minutes?
Oh, it's about. 3 hours,
three,
I think.
It's about 3 hours, so that's 2 pounds an hour for weight cutting. That's normal, right?
No, there's nothing normal about any of that. And it's not the state of Washington, asshole. What's that promotion?
Wow.
Don't pay me for
asshole. Why do I got to be an asshole? I'm just stating the fact. It happened in the state of Washington. That's all I said. I didn't say you sanctioned it, and I didn't say the state sanctioned it. So who sanctioned it then? I guess the gym show doesn't need sanction.
The state of Washington allows. That's what you said. You know what you said, fucker.
Oh, shit. State of Washington allows. 6 pound allowance. Breaking news.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
First guy to break the story, ref, sanctioned by the state. Jeff, what's up? Tell us the down low.
You did. I didn't say anything. What are you talking about?
Now, you know I'm going to edit that part out.
I'm sure you are. Come back with that.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Okay, so. Somebody fucking bring up something, because I'm high as shit.
I'm right there with you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm watching crazy dive fights. And now I'm looking at... Dude, by the way, hey, I'm pissed off, man. I got something to bitch about. Fucking yesterday, I was watching a pirated fucking copy of the new Wolverine movie on YouTube, and halfway
through it, it fucking cuts off and it says, this is an illegal version of this movie. You cannot watch. That's some bullshit. I was halfway through that shit.
Oh, that's what you did. You should have looked and see what the time was on it. What the fuck? Come on.
Dude, like, I was like the seventh viewer, so I was like, oh, I should have plenty of time to watch this shit. And like halfway through, just cuts off. Man, they should be able to do that. Like, if I would have logged off.
You should have downloaded it immediately. You should have immediately put it in any video converter and downloaded that shit and been done with it.
I will next time. By the way.
Now you know.
Fucking Wolverine, I got like halfway through. That shit got done legit. They fucking really did a good job. Much better than all the other X-Men movies.
I can't believe you're illegally watching movies, man.
Right? Fucking no. You're going to have to edit all this shit out.
Hey, Rick, who's the worst person to train with down there? Who's the one who just laid a whooping on you? The toughest matchups?
I train with Nate as much as possible, so I don't know. I mean, realistically, I go out to Alpha Male and train with Uriah Faber and his guys, them fucking guys, man. We'll go out there and be 20, 30 guys in one mat fucking sparring for 2 hours.
Awesome.
But I would say Nate, bro, Nate kind of get at it a lot. You know, he's a fucking tough dude, man. The fucking... That Stockton flat box ain't no joke, bro. Especially when you go, you know, 3-5 minute rounds and that last third round, this motherfucker's not even tired.
Yeah, their cardio's sick.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, bro.
What's the length of Tyson with that kind of length? With that reach? Has he got a lot of length on you?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, and man, his timing is on point. His reach is he's got good range. I don't mind it, though. Hey, if I'm going to get punched up, at least it's by fucking, you know, UFC fighter. Shit. Top dog in the league. Fuck it.
They get better.
Thing,
get
though, you know, hey,
Harder practices at Caesar Gracie's or at Alpha Male?
When I go to Alpha Male, bro, I go on the sparring day, period. You know, them guys are tough dudes out there, though. I'll give it to them. You know, they come with it. And they're not no punks, man. I like those guys out there. I would say it's pretty even, though, honestly. Cause, I mean, realistically, I've been training. When I go train, I'm not at Caesars in Pleasant Hill. I'm training with Nick and Nate at Nick's Academy. And the atmosphere, it's all a group of fighters. You know what I mean? There's no guys there that are just training to get in shape. It's all motherfuckers that are down to punch, kick, knee, elbow, slam, and choke your ass out.
Lodi?
Who's that?
Is that Lodi?
Lodi.
That's a lot of badasses in one room.
What were some of the major differences when you left Fight Corps and went there?
Well, you know, the thing is, I didn't really leave Fight Corps. I still train there. I just, as a fighter, you know, I want to be surrounded with people that are accomplishing things that I'm trying to accomplish and are places, going places that I'm trying to go. I mean, there's no other competition. In my area, too, especially in the Bay Area, man, I'm blessed with these resources. I mean, I could literally drive 45 minutes and hit Uriah Faber's gym, hit Nick and Nate Diaz's gym. 45 minutes the other way, I could hit Gilbert Melendez's gym. I mean, it's just, you know, the talent that's around us is just ridiculous. I don't want to be the top dog at any gym, you know. I know, I'm learning and I'm making progress when I go to another gym and I get my ass whooped. I don't give a fuck. I ain't no pussy. I don't care. We can bang. I'll stand my ground and throw hands, too. We can roll. I'm not worried about it. No matter where I go, I hold my own everywhere.
Now, it's funny, you know, we've been talking about that lately, about, you know, the aspects of being top dog in a gym and then going to another gym and not being top dog. When you first step into those gyms and you weren't top dog, how mentally frustrating was it, or how rewarding mentally was it?
You know, I don't really get frustrated. I just get focused, you know. I go and I'm getting tapped out, man. You're not gonna tap me out with the same shit twice. You know, if I'm getting punched up, man, like I said, I'm gonna stand my ground. I'm gonna let my hands go right there with you. I mean, the whole thing that you're saying about the fighters and the athletes, I think that shit really comes into play because I'm so mentally tough just from fighting every day and fighting obstacles and hardship and the struggle. I'm not worried about taking no ass whooping. I'm really not. So when I go in there, I'm not looking like I need to be the baddest motherfucker in there. I'm just looking like, hey, where is the baddest motherfucker so I can see where I stand.
I like it.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, I mean, definitely, you know, you give such validity in that statement to that, what we always say. There's a, you know, today you have fighters who fight and that are athletic, and you have athletic guys who fight, and you're starting to even see guys who fight not to lose, not guys who are still fighting to win. And I think it comes down to, you know, are you a natural-born fighter or not? I think as much as people out there, you know, might not like GSP, and I'm the first one to say I'm not a big fan of his, he proved to me this last fight that he is definitely a fighter, man. He has got what it takes to be a fighter. You know, I used to say he was an athlete who fights. He proved me wrong in that fight. He proved me that he was a fighter who was athletic. You know, he stood and banged it out with somebody who was supposed to be the key, you know, king of KOs. So.
Yeah, you know, everybody was talking shit that he looked like he got fucking hit by a Mack truck. Yeah, he did. He looked fucked up. But with that said, he was taking those fucking left hands like a champ. You know, he didn't go down. Might have wobbled him, but he stood in there and he kept banging. So, I mean, I give him props for that.
Yeah, I agree.
Rick, you know? If I said you could fight anyone, you get to pick your opponent. Who's the one guy that you'd like to ultimately fight?
You know, that's a tough one, man. It's funny. It's like every time I have any type of interview or discussion, everybody asks me that question. I really don't have a specific answer for it. If I had to say one person, I would probably look more towards one specific fighting style. Like I'm getting matched up with these jiu-jitsu guys and these wrestlers, so I can't really just get in there and bang. You know what I mean? Because as soon as you start letting your hands go, they want to take you down. So I would say probably somebody like, I don't know, he was supposed to be on the show, the Caveman, Dave Rickles. You know, he looked like he'd be a fun motherfucker to fight. I remember he fought Saeed and he was saying, shit, well, we're going to stand in the pocket and throw hands and he's going to find out he can't knock out a Caveman. That's the type of fight I want. I want to stand in the pocket, let my hands go and see what the fuck happens.
Dude, that'd be a sick-ass fight.
Yep, I agree. Absolutely. Hey, K-Man loves to stand and bang. That would be a great fight.
And I mean in the most up respect, bro. You know, he's a tough dude. He gets in there and bangs, and shit, just seems like it would be fun. And, you know, it would be entertaining as fuck for the fans because when he gets hit, he wants to throw his hands. When I get hit, I'm not fucking retreating. I'm going to dig my feet in the ground and let my hands go, too.
Hey, I apologize. I had to jump off the air for a second. Who did you name?
Who did I name?
David Rickles.
Yeah.
David Rickles.
Oh, that's funny, man. He was supposed to be calling in tonight.
Yeah, I seen that.
Oh, that would have been fucking hilarious. We do have another guest joining us. It's a surprise guest. He hosts one of the sickest shows. I believe we had his partner on last week, and this week we have the man himself joining us. What's up, Casey?
How you doing, man? I'm good. Yes, Cyrus said he got on here and he talked a little hip show with you last week. I was kind of giving you a little bit of what's going on with that, and you know, for what. You know, as much as we can talk about it, we can't really talk about it a whole lot. But we're just getting all that stuff organized and you know, really, man, I got back from Romania this last time from Super Combat, and I was going to give you guys a call and kind of give you the rundown, and I got over there, and 4 hours before I left, it got the stomach bug. And so I spent 15 hours on the airplane with the stomach bug. That was rough.
That sucks. I know all about
that. Most miserable thing in my life, man. I remember we announced the main event, you know, with Catalina Morisano, and I was all amped up, and I finished up, and I was like, man, I'm feeling kind of, I must have got real amped up when I was calling that fight. And then we head back and get changed to go to the after party. And like 10 minutes into the after party, I'm out of there. I go back to the hotel and I got sick and I got sick again and again. And then I'm thinking, I remember just laying there at the toilet thinking, oh my gosh, I got, you know, 4 hours till I got to be on an airplane. And it's going to be 15 hours, 3 different connections. And I don't know if I'll be able to do this or not.
You're going to die in Poland on us, Romania, huh?
Yeah, I don't think. I think I had it when I left here. I think it was kind of going around, and I think that my immune system once I did some rolling. I did some jiu-jitsu while I was there in the morning of the fight, and I rolled pretty hard. And then afterwards, I think maybe my immune system got down a little bit. And, man, I'm telling you what. I was like, I'm usually scared to fly, you know, even as much flying as I do, I get scared a little bit, you know, and nervous. And I'm laying there and I'm just like, dude, I don't care if it goes down, I'm going to die from whatever this is I picked up.
I know you weren't feeling great, but how cool was it to be able to go over and roll with some guys in Romania?
It was real cool. You know, the guys that were there, there's not a whole lot of jiu-jitsu. There's some in Bucharest. We were in Ploiești. And I got in touch with some guys that had been rolling, and they roll a little bit in Bucharest. And so I've been speaking back and forth with them. And so they came over to our hotel, and I got to work out a little bit. And it was really cool because, you know, of course, it's not as prevalent. They like to bang there. They're all about kickboxing and stuff. So it was really neat to talk to some jiu-jitsu guys and do all that. It was really neat. So I had a really good time with my whole experience there. You know, got to hang out at the in the neighborhoods there in Romania. This Catalina Stavri, he took me downtown Ploiești, like down in the neighborhoods, the gypsy neighborhood. And I'm walking down the street there, and there are like, you know, 20 or 30 kids, and I say kids, I mean anywhere from 9 to, you know, 20 years old, and they're all standing on the streets drinking beer and smoking cigarettes. All of them, 9 years old, you know what I mean? And I'm walking down through there, and I'm looking around. I'm like, dude, should we be getting out of the car? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, you're talking about mean streets, man. And he's like, dude, I handle these streets, you know, because he's a media guy, you know. So all the media guys, they have a strong connection there. And so we got out, and they took me, you know, right into the neighborhoods and took me into this house with this gypsy lady. And I drank some coffee, and she told my fortune, and I mean, it was crazy. It was unbelievable. And it was, like, you know, real. You know, you look at this lady and you're like, wow, this is like the gypsies you've seen on, like, all the movies, the old movie stuff. And so I got to experience that. So it was really neat. The experience over there, man, is unbelievable, you know. And it was different than anything else I'd ever seen in my life.
Now, I wish we had Cyrus, because I'd be curious which is a more unsettling feeling, a bunch of 9-year-olds smoking and drinking or a bunch of wild dogs up and down the street.
You know, I didn't see the dogs, man. Like, Cyrus, before I went over there, he was like, man, you better watch out for those dogs. And I had talked, I wanted to go to Braun Castle. My whole thing was I wanted to go sleep in Braun Castle overnight, you know. And it was a little distance off. It was like 4 hours away, so I wasn't going to have time to do that. And so, you know, they weren't going to be able to facilitate it. And Cyrus was like, well, you could rent a car. He said, but I wouldn't do it. He said, you're going to get dragged off by some wild dogs if you do that. I was like, fair enough. I'll just go to the gypsy neighborhood. And it ended up being more dangerous.
Yeah, hey,
did it make you want to go hang out? You're like, I can handle Baltimore now any day of the week.
Yeah, you know, the difference in all these places, you know, you think about all these European places and the Eastern Bloc, all these tough neighborhoods. I mean, you'll get beat down with shillelagh or something, but, I mean, there are no guns. Nobody has guns. You know, like even the police a lot of times don't even have guns. They have tasers and stuff. So it's a little bit different. Now, people around at all these different places think we're just crazy maniacs. And this is what I was told. I mean, when we were in Australia the first time, I was talking to Peter Graham, and he was like, oh, you're American, eh? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, all you guys, all you are is guns and cocaine. And that's what they believe that all Americans are, guns and cocaine. I was like, fair enough.
Sorry,
yeah. I don't know.
Good. Love it.
That's badass, dude.
I know what character to portray the next time I'm in Australia. Where's the cocaine at, motherfuckers?
Dude,
you can leave the fucking cocaine or else people are going to get fucked up, man.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not a drug guy, you know what I mean? Like, as far as, like, cocaine is concerned, I'm avoid that element myself, you know. So when I got down there, I had one of the guys that we were with, and he was talking. We'd gone to a hamburger joint, you know. How this came up was he took me out to eat this really nice hamburger joint. I mean, when I say nice, I mean the hamburger's $20 each, and it's because just that's how expensive stuff is in Australia. And he had ordered one of those Coca-Colas in the bottle, you know what I mean? And he was, you know, and we were drinking them and eating the hamburgers and everything. And he was like, man, you know, I can't wait to go there. I can't wait to go to Las Vegas. I've never been to Las Vegas before. And I was like, yeah, man, it's great. He says, and he's drinking this Coke. And he says, oh, here, the Coke is outstanding down there, over there. Over here, it's all browned up and all this. And I'm looking at this bottle of Coke he's drinking, and I'm just like, what do you mean? I mean, are you drinking the stuff that has the real sugar, and you're talking about the stuff they have here is different? It's like the throwback, you know? And I was like, that's what you're talking about. And then it got to go. He was just straight out, you know, talking to me about cocaine. And I guess because being American, they just assumed that I was a cokehead. And then that's I ran into Peter Graham, and he said the same stuff. You know, that's when he told me, hey, we're just a bunch of guns and cocaine over here.
Is that one of the few times, Casey, where you thought maybe your high energy personality was maybe working against you?
perhaps me, but I got the gig, you know. So I don't know. I just kind of got quiet, and I was like,
So we moved on. Did you officially hijack the Super Combat gig from Cyrus?
No, I didn't. Well, what do you mean hijack?
Are we going to see you at the mic now all the time?
No, not all the time. I don't want to go steal something off him. He's good, you know, and he's my partner. I go over there and I did my thing, and I'll be over there from time to time, you know. I mean, I'll be doing some stuff.
Let's be honest, and Rick, so you know, we're talking about Super Combat. It's a phenomenal kickboxing league. But that's got to be one of the sweetest events to go work, is it not?
It was spectacular. And for a number of reasons, you know. I mean, they got their shit together over there really well. And what I mean by that is, you know, you've got promotions all over the United States that, you know, they're just struggling, and they don't know when their next event's going to be, and, you know, and when it comes about, they're just, and I mean, Edwards, the owner there, I mean, he'll just, I mean, on the spur of the moment, he'll be like, okay, next week event. He'll put that thing together, and he'll sell the place out. And, I mean, he's amazing. You know what I mean? He had everything together. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. And the fights, or without exception, amazing. You know what I mean? Like every single fight. And it was really cool to be there for this last one because, you know, we had some wars. You know, they went, you know, in later rounds and so forth. And it was really cool. And then the last two fights were just straight up like butchers. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it finished off with the Morsano fight, you know. And it's just crazy to watch these guys because they're just banging back and forth. Like, nobody's really hurt. Nobody's showing any sign of weakness. And then, boom, one shot is over with. Out of nowhere.
The Daniel Sam fight.
Which would say it again?
Wasn't it the Daniel Sam fight?
Dude, he creeped on that guy.
Yeah. Oh, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Guy, and Raul Catino also. I mean, it was just, I mean, they're just, and you're right next to it, and you're hearing this high impact and how immensely strong these strikes are. Because you see it on TV, and you're hearing this smack, 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 right? And you're right next to it, dude. I mean, it sounds like, you know, firecrackers going off and then cherry bombs up top. You know what I mean? It just it's really spectacular.
Much,
and they go ahead.
How much different is it from an MMA fight, the sound?
Well, with an MMA fight, just the difference, it's kind of like with the difference in a Muay Thai fight for me. It's like with an MMA fight, you hear the punch of the glove on the face and all that, but the sound of the kicks, there's just so much more striking going on. You know, you're seeing guys throwing, I mean, heavyweights throwing 5-6 punch and kick combinations and, you know, in repetition over and over again, and they're very, very fast. You know, where in MMA, you know, you see some strikes, you'll see a little clinching, some strikes and some clinching. So it's and I just think those guys, they hit really, really hard and really, really fast. You know, and I've
Wait,
you know, been
these,
say it again.
Where are these shows at?
I can't hear.
Most Rick was asking where these shows are at, and most of these shows are in Romania or in Italy. I believe they're going to be in Asia in 2014.
It's Romanian-based.
Yeah.
The show is based out of Romania, but they go everywhere in Europe, and they're on Eurosport there, which is, you know, like the ESPN of all of Europe and all throughout Africa and so forth. So Eurosport's a very strong you know, network to be on, and they're on it, you know, and but yeah, they've been down in Italy recently. Like a week before the event I was at, they were in Italy, and then they're looking to go on down into to North Africa some, and they've got all kinds of stuff going on.
That Italy deal, man, which was the largest martial arts expo outside of Asia in the world. 100,000 people, man, and they held an event there, dude. That's insane shit. I read his interview, and he said, like, you know, they're used to, you know, 15,000. You know, that's nothing, you know. He's 20, 25, gets them excited. He's like, when they told us that there was going to be 100,000 people at this event, he was like, wow, it really made them nervous.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Eddie, man, he just has a way about him, you know. Like, when he rolls, he goes and he gets it done, and he finds a way to get it done, and he has so much stroke whenever he conducts business, and it's very, very impressive to watch how he does things and stuff. And, you know, there aren't a lot of promoters out there that can do it, and, you know, they're making a lot of moves in Europe and internationally. And, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, you talk about them, K1, you know, and you in Glory, but, I mean, you have to put you have to put Super Combat in there just because it's the way they're growing right now. It's just it's really something, and I'm excited to see the resurgence of kickboxing to the mainstream like it is, because it's very, very exciting. Getting, you know, I'm watching, you know, hours and hours of mixed martial arts, and then getting a chance to just not worry about seeing the guys tangle up at all, just see them beat each other to death is something else.
Well, Lepaki and me have been huge fans for some time of Super Combat, big fans of it.
Yeah, I mean, I love kickboxing. I think it's really, for me, it's probably the most exciting thing to watch.
Yeah, especially K1 kickboxing. You know, Muay Thai is interesting, and it's a, you know, it's an art and a craft, you know, but, you know, the clinch work, it definitely has to have a particular eye. If you're used to watching K1, you're not going to really get the same pump out of pure Muay Thai as you do K1. K1 just basically, to me, is, hey, man, it's a free-for-all, and that's why you get those crazy knockouts. You know, years ago,
yeah.
I used to, you know, you'd watch Ernesto Hoost and Peter Ertz, and they'd go back and forth. They'd have three out of the five times, you know, Hoost would knock out Ertz sick, and then the other two, Ertz would knock out Hoost sick. You know, and that's unpredictable.
What did you think about Andy Ricci last weekend?
I didn't get to watch the fight.
Oh, wow.
I was still traveling. I've been traveling since that. I got the stomach bug, and then I was still traveling. I was actually at I was in Columbia, South Carolina, watching Bill Cosby, actually, with my wife. We've been waiting all year. I'm honored that he was her absolute favorite character. We watched the Cosby Show all the time, and we were actually there with some family watching Cosby. So I wasn't allowed to watch, not yet. So I'm going to catch all that stuff and catch up on it with the holidays here and this weekend and stuff. I don't have anything anywhere to go.
You need to go and listen to the old Bill Cosby records from, like, the 60s and 70s. Shit is hilarious.
Me and my cousin, we always do the whole Here's Cause, you know, from the old Saturday Night Live skit with Eddie Murphy. You know, and it had the little, where he was making fun, and we always make, you know, I'll call him up, that'll be the first thing that I always do. We've always been big fans.
Now, I'm curious, got the Dirty Dozen kicking, you guys, dude, like, I'm just curious, like, each week, you know, who's picking them? Because, man, some of the last few, like, these people must be picking just because they like somebody, man. I mean, some of the ones that are winning, I'm like, really? With some of the other knockouts on the Dirty Dozen? Man. We gotta make a disclaimer because you have to pick the best knockout.
That's the thing about the Dirty Dozen, okay? And this is the whole point of it. The point is to give opportunities for every event around the world, essentially, to send in their videos, you know, of what they've got going on. And some of them will send in videos of a submission, and, you know, and some of them will be all right, and some of them will be really good, right? But we want to have, you know, of course, with Super Combat, well, now we'll throw a bunch of Super Combat up just because that's the thing, you know. We may have two or three on one Dirty Dozen some weeks, you know, if they're great. But at the same time, we also allow these other events to represent, you know. And what it is really, truly, the Dirty Dozen is the chance of their fans of these promotions to come out and give a shout-out to the people. So we're going to show you the fights, and we're going to show you the knockouts, and regardless. So whether they win or whether they don't, the fans get to watch the knockouts. You know what I mean? But who wins, that's in the fans' hands, and that's what makes it the Dirty Dozen. I mean, it doesn't have to be the best. If your buddy is out there and he's vying to win the Dirty Dozen, this is going to show how popular you are. You know, if you get 1,000 people to vote for you, then what does that say about your draw?
You're right. You're very right on that. I agree with you 100%. I just, like, some weeks I just can't believe that, like, such a great knockout is in, like, third place. And I'm like, really? I should have won.
You're right. And you know, that's where you go out there and you go, hey, look, man, you know, these – what are you fans? You're saying you're fans of this guy. Where are you at? He had the most spectacular knockout, and where are you at? You know, come out here and vote for him. And show some love for your fighter, and in turn, like I said, I mean, if you've got guys that can get thousands of votes, you know, they can turn in to go to a promoter, especially a local promoter, and go, hey, look what I got here. Look at all these people that vote for me. Look how many tickets I can sell. You know, and it's kind of like, I mean, of course, it doesn't relate directly to it, but the idea is it's supposed to show fan appeal of these fighters.
Totally agree.
What areas do you guys get a majority of the votes from, Casey?
Well, I mean, typically we get our – I mean, the votes are going to come in from wherever, you know, the biggest shows. You know, I mean, we have shows all over the United States and all over the world. So, I mean, I don't have a tracker to see where they're all coming from specifically when people vote. But I think that some of the votes, you know, it's posted on a lot of forums and so forth. But typically speaking, it's going to be from whatever that week, you know, the different events from that week, you know, the promoters and the fighters, they advertise that the Dirty Dozen is on, and they'll send the fans over to the websites to vote, you know, to our website. So. You know, I mean, it could be people, random people that look at it and go, man, that's an awesome knockout. Here's my vote. Or, again, it can be, you know, their fans, you know, the fans of those those particular promotions and those fighters, they'll go over and select the select their guy.
Well, no matter what, it's a badass. I love the Dirty Dozen each week. I mean,
I'm just not liking that the people, that the winners aren't aligning with my choices here lately.
Well, this is where you come in, because you're gonna have to get on the bullhorn out there, and let everybody know to watch the Dirty Dozen, and let them know of the atrocities and the voting that's going on right now, because there's some sick knockouts that aren't getting any love.
I do, trust me. And I refuse to tell people how I voted until after the winner's announced.
Right.
Then I want to sway the voting. But I want to make sure that people know if they're voting wrong, I'll let them know.
We're getting ready to have a big 100 knockout special. And we never have voting on that. I always thought it'd be kind of cool, you know, if we listed 100 knockouts and have like a super prize pack for the 100 knockouts, you know. But we're having a big year-end, or I guess not this coming episode, but the following is going to be the big 100 knockout special. And we've had like four of those now. And so I'm excited to put those on there. So you're not going to see any garbage knockouts at all, or finishes at all on this. These are all selected by us. We pick them, and then Cyrus and I are going to pick like five of our absolute favorite each, and these are going to be like the sickest from the last, you know, last 15 or 20 episodes that we draw from.
Dude, that'll be sweet.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, you know, you guys nail it consistently, man. Like, when we did the draft, you know, a few months back, you know, this is going to be another one that's going to be good. I'm ready. I like it. By the way, we should have, we all should have written down our draft results and seen how everybody's doing at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. My number one, do you guys remember at all what my number one was?
Magnavall or whatever from KSW?
No, my number one was Chet Congo. He just won the Bellator tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, because I had, it was right when he was released, and I had all heavyweights.
Yeah.
My number one was Chet Congo.
I'm trying to remember who the hell my first pick was.
Hey, Beatdown, is that you, brother?
Yeah, man, I'm back, man. I lost my phone, so.
Well, you're on with Rick Rieger. You're on with Casey Oxidine from MMA Inside the Cage. You obviously, you know, Lepaki, me, Clinch, and Jason Ellis from Relentless Sports Management. So welcome back, brother.
I think I went with somebody from 1FC for some reason.
I remember that stole one of my picks.
I didn't steal shit from you. You can pick guys on my level.
Oh, shit. We're going to have to pull back up that episode. And we're going to have to...
Oh, we're going to.
We're going to have to go through, and we're going to have to see how everybody's records sit as an overall.
You know what's crazy?
Yeah.
You know, I had Chick as number one. And, like, my number four was Peter Graham.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah, and I think that was before Peter Graham was even picked up by Bellator.
I just couldn't figure out why Peter couldn't really get off in that fight. I thought he really kind of had a pretty good chance to win that going into it.
And, you know... You never can tell, and especially if you're traveling like that. When you jet lag out, and like we were saying, and Cyrus does this too, man, because we'll travel, and we'll travel internationally within like a couple of weeks, you know, and it's weird how it affects your body, because
it naturally drops your immune system. Just being in the plane for that period of time, it makes your blood flow differently, and all kinds of stuff happens. So, like, we'll go to Australia. I'll go to Australia. I mean, you arrive there, and you're tired, and you're feeling weird. It's almost like you're in a haze, right? And it's like that almost until you're ready to go home, and you're still like that. And then when you get home, you're like that. And then you fly off to somewhere else that's different, and it's strange because I go to bed late at night. I go to bed 3 or 4 in the morning where I live every night. And then, I went to Monaco last month, and I came back, and I was going to bed at, 10 o'clock at night, and I was waking up 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, every morning, like, religiously. My wife loved it. We were getting up, having breakfast, doing all this. And I go to Romania another week later after that, and then I come back, and now I'm back on my old schedule again, and it's just, it affects your body. Like I was saying, I went over there and did jiu-jitsu in Romania on a different time scale, and it hit my body really weird. And I don't know how many of you guys do, roll and do jiu-jitsu and all that, but, like, sometimes you get up early in the morning, you're not used to rolling for a while early in the morning, and it affects you differently than, like, if you're used to just rolling at nighttime. It hits you, you get, like, that hot lung almost, like, you get really hot, and then it starts to, it's all that cold, and it's a weird transition. So, man, maybe that got a hold of Peter Graham this time, and he wasn't able to get his stride going.
Yeah, definitely that's a possibility. I don't know. Who would you like to see Congo face next? I mean, obviously, how do you think he fares against the guy that just beat Kurlov, or?
I mean, I think that Chet Congo is just a big monster of a guy who's probably capable of knocking out anybody, but a real sharp opponent is capable of coming in and working him too if they've got if they've got a good day going on. You know what I mean? Like, I think that. You saw with, like, the Pat Barry fight. Congo's always going to be an utterly dangerous fighter, a monster. But he's beatable, So I don't know. I mean, just because he was in the UFC, I don't say, oh, he's going to control Bellator now and he's going to be unstoppable. I think there are fighters out there, but I don't know. I really, honestly, I would have picked him. But he's not my favorite fighter to watch. He was just my number one draft pick because the UFC had just let him loose. And to me, he was the most visible heavyweight out there right now. And I also picked him for fan appeal, too. I mean, he was a former UFC star, so why not pick him up and see what you could draw off that?
Well, what we need to do is, in January, we need to do another Rogue Show draft with you guys. And, like, write down everybody's pick and follow it through the year. Get beat down, get a couple of fighters maybe. All, a bunch of us do it again like we did earlier this year. Because I'm really curious to see how everybody's fighters have done now.
And, the prize could be Clinch can make him a mouth guard. That'd be great.
Oh, you missed out. He can make him a mouth guard with weed in it. We found out tonight. You can make a mouth guard with weed in it. Tell me that wouldn't be badass. That would be the coolest shit.
Oh, it's like it's got weed in it. It's got weed in it. It's got to be good.
Dude, I just think it'd be great to, like, show up and the commission goes, you got your mouth guard in, and you smile, and he thinks you got a mouth full of weed. That would be hilarious.
Wow.
Because you'd end up breaking open your mouth guards and ran out, and then you have to buy a new mouth guard. Great idea.
Dude, that'd be fun. I swear, man, commission, my mouth guard leaked.
I'm supposed to have my – I've got a clinch in the mail. I just got my message on Facebook that I've got my clinch is coming, and I've also got a T-shirt from Clinch Custom coming, so I'll be wearing that for the next episode and for the Dirty Dozen. So I'm always repping Clinch, but this time I'm going to have my T-shirt, so I'm excited about that. And when I get my mouthpiece molded, I'll wear that on camera too.
Awesome. Love it.
Bam! It's a mouth guard kind of night. Look at Clinch. He's going to be in everybody's mouth on the show, huh?
Yeah, just yours? Oh, wait, I wasn't supposed to tell, was I? Sorry.
I don't have a Clinch mouth guard.
Sorry, I got confused.
Hey, don't make me have Chris Gregory do more interviews for you. Dude, that will never fucking get old. I mean, as long as we live, like...
Dude, I would love to ask Alaska Savis if she wanted to choke Chris Gregory out when he asked her that. I think next time Alexis Davis is on one of the shows I'm hosting, I'm going to ask her. When the guy from MMA Topics asked you about what it was like having Clinch custom mouth guards in your mouth, did you at that point in time want to maybe hit him with a prayer choke and just see what she says?
I wanted to.
Clinch told me to ask.
Yeah. I was just trying to fight with him in your mouth.
That's called throwing a motherfucker under the bus.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and then when he got busted, he said, hey, he told me to say it. I just had to pass it along. Don't be up. It's all good, man. Just made up for it.
Oh, shit. So, what the fuck? We pretty much covered all the MMA around the world this weekend. Hey, actually, while we got you here, are you going to be in Australia for AFC on the 14th?
No, I'm not going to go this time. It was Sean. We're working on a little project with the AFC to try to pick things up, and I'm actually going to be in Spain until the 13th, and with some top secret hip show stuff. So. I wasn't going to be able to. It would have been very, very hard for me to jump on a plane from there to Australia and make it in time, because we're actually meeting with some officials there in Spain. So I won't be there, but I will definitely be a part of the promotion of the event. And then Bridger and I have been talking extensively, and Cyrus and I are working on some. We're in the works of getting some stuff together for the AFC for some distribution, so we're really excited, pumped up about it. We're going to see AFC a lot different places, and we're going to get a chance to, be the face of the AFC for the episodes as well. So that's really neat.
Now, is it true that they changed the start time so that the American viewers will be able to watch this next event on the stream?
Absolutely, and that's what they're looking for. So it's going to be at 1 o'clock Australian time. It's going to be 10 p.m. U.S. time the night before. So it'll be Friday the 13th at 10 p.m. For the United States, and that's how we're advertising it. And then it actually is going down Australian time at 1 p.m., which it actually hurt their ticket sales a little bit, because they had some people that were, you know, that were planning to purchase and had come on to purchase, but it, you know, they had some stuff going on and it made it more difficult. You know, it's a night show, so they're really doing this to make a push into the international market, and particularly the United States market. So I think it's just a spectacular event, man. And I mean, if you haven't watched, I mean, they've had, you know, this last event and what happened to them, where, you know, I don't know if you know this, but the UFC Tough Smashers essentially took, you know, 2/3 of their roster for Tough Smashers, okay? I mean, and a majority of the fighters that were involved in their two tournaments, the finale of their two tournaments, you know. So AFC being who they are, they release these fighters because that's who they've always been, you know. So they gave to the fighters, they let them go, but it hurt them, it damaged them, and it caused them to have to make that move, you know. And so, you know, but I'll say this, and I told them, it was like, you know, you turn on Tough Smashes, look at who the stars of this show are going to be. They're all AFC fighters. You know,
You know, look in the past of the fighters that have been on the AFC. You know what I mean? The first one I was involved with, the co-main event and the main event, it were, you know, Soa and Sean McCorkle. You know, Soa now, you know, headlining, you know, with Pat Barry, and then Peter Graham. And was the co-main event in that fight. You know, those are two notable fighters. And, you know, and even McCorkle goes over and he beats Pujanowski at KSW the first time, you know. So, I mean, the guys they had involved, of course, they had Hector Lombard, Jesse Taylor fought on that, on their card, on their show. So ASB, to me, is the cream of the crop when you're talking about Australian MMA, anything in Australia. And I think that with this next troop of fighters they're going to bring in, they're going to deliver just like before. They're just not going to be as notable. People aren't going to know them yet. But as soon as they go out there and they do it this time, everybody's going to know those guys just like the other roster.
Yeah,
who the fuck's breathing like Darth Vader?
I'm not passed out, just so you know, it's not me snoring.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
right.
You've passed out on the show before, brother.
That's what I said. It's not me passed out right now. I'm awake.
Dude, Rick, straight up, Jason Ellis, Relentless Sports Management, is who we're talking with. Dude, Casey, Rick, both you guys. One night he passed out, and, like, for 30 minutes it was... Dude, like, we were trying to get his dog to grab his phone. We were whistling for his dog and shit. Dude, it was fucking hilarious.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
It was fucked up as Lapaki made the same mistake a week later, fucking passed out. It was throwing on the show, so.
Nice.
Yeah,
like,
and,
I'll
just hang up before I fucking go through that again. If I know I can't hold my eyes open, I'm just going to hang up so I don't embarrass myself.
You know, this, you know, I'll be honest, you know, Friday nights we do this show, you know, for one reason. A lot of people are relaxed. It's the weekend. It's late night. You know, we all tie a little bit on. We come on here and we get to talk bullshit freely. We don't got to worry. I mean, we have great guests and people every week. I mean, from every aspect of the game. So, I mean, if you pass out on the show, fuck it. It's part of the show. I mean, my sponsors don't ask for a clean cut show. So,
I like the style.
I'll tell you what, man, it'll be a lot less snoring than a lot of the other shows that I listen to, man. And those guys are awake, you know?
I wouldn't pass out in the same room with y'all.
Oh, no.
That's what happened.
Pardon me.
Oh, shit. Dude, would you ever have John Jones be your designated driver?
Fuck no.
Shit.
I tried to get him to be designated driver.
Oh, I still, that's one of the funniest stories I've ever heard on here. Who the dude? I would pay so much money to be able to do that to him just once.
What?
What?
I don't think I want to know what you want to do to John Jones.
Dude, hey, tell him.
Hey.
He fell what?
Deep down, tell him that story.
Man, we was at a casino gambling, and I got a chance to sit with John Jones at the fight, and I don't know, I thought it would be funny. Had a few drinks, and we were getting ready to leave the casino, and I said, hey, man, you going to drive? And I really didn't mean it like that, you know, but everybody just busted out laughing, but that ain't what I meant, you know. I mean, I just knew I couldn't drive, you know. But it came out, it's a lot funnier than, I guess you had to be there because a lot of people busted out laughing, but I really didn't mean to insult them, you know.
Was he offended?
And what was I going to say? I didn't hear the story? I mean, I don't know, that was a bad time, I guess.
Was he offended?
Say again?
Was he offended?
No, man. He laughed it off. Man, he's a good guy, man. I really had a good time. He's really knowledgeable of the game. He's young, though. You know, hell, I mean, we all know.
It's just funny how that got swept under the rug, though.
Say again?
I said it's just funny how that whole situation got swept under the rug.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you got to remember one thing. These guys, even though they have an image, they're still human beings. And, you know, some people can't always always maintain that responsible mentality, you know, when they have the cameras on them. And every now and then they slip. John Jones slipped. That's why he got the DUI, you know what I mean?
That sounds like a manager speaking.
Yeah, nah, we're all human, man. You gotta raise your own kids. You can't look at him to be a fucking role model for your children.
A, I agree, and B, does anybody think John Jones is bullshitting because he doesn't want to have to take that fight?
I'm wondering why they didn't give the immediate rematch.
I totally agree. You know, I they're now pushing, you know, he's the greatest lightweight champion ever, blah, 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 blah. You know, I think it's time that, you know, he should have had a rematch, but I think it's, you know, us having to wait till, you know, March through June for him to get back in the cage, this is getting, I think he's scared to fight him.
Well, now he's supposed to be fighting Glover Teixeira, right?
Yeah.
So they're talking about after the GSP Hendricks fight, oh, you got to give him an immediate rematch. That's bullshit. He holds it to the fans, blah, blah, blah. But after that, after the John Doe fight, he didn't even have to fight for another year, damn near.
Yeah. He's getting... I think preferential treatment, man. I mean, look, I think a champ should have to defend his strap 3 times a year minimum, unless injuries keep it from happening. And he's saying he's still not healed from Gus's, the fight with Gus, but Gus seems healed, back in the gym, ready for his next fight. You know, so if he was injured that bad that he can't defend his title, you strip him.
Well, that, you know what's funny about that is one guy left with the title and the stretcher, and the other guy left with a smile and no belt. I don't know.
Nope.
You know what you do? You get Ari Gold and get him the fire back.
I think it's interesting how they run the whole title scene, the way it's going towards now, you know, the whole 54 events in 2014 for the UFC and how they're operating that way, because, you know, they all talked about how Dana White spoke with Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon talked about, hey, he has this weekly show, and then it's on every week, and it's something that, you know, you can watch, and I mean, it could be consistent, whereas the fight game has never been like that before, you know. I mean, Tyson, you look back at Tyson, man, you know, he would fight maybe twice a year. A lot of times he would fight once every 8 months. You know what I mean? You wouldn't see Tyson very often, you know, and typically speaking, you know, the champion of the world had to defend that title once a year, you know, but back then, you know, these boxing events that were huge in the 80s and early 90s, those things were built up over like a 4 to 6 month period, you know, and it was built up and it was hyped huge and they were mega events. And that's not what it is, not the case now, you know. And like you say, you know, you're gonna, you know, people are expecting those champions to defend 2 or 3 times a year. And that's a lot of wear and tear. That's a lot of fight. And I think that it's almost like that Dana White is working his fighters like professional wrestlers, you know, in a sense. You know, I mean, he's keeping them out there and he's going to work them. And if he's not going to build the roster, which is what he said, he says he has fighters that he can't use currently, then that means that he's going to be working his current roster into the ground, you know. And so, you know, it's interesting and it's entertaining to watch, but, I mean, how is it going to affect the sport and the fighters long term if you're getting your brains beat in? It's not just getting your brains beat in the cage. That's a small portion of it. You're getting your brains beat in every day in training.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not. You can't follow that WWE model that way. You know, it's just two different beasts that can operate in two completely different manners.
Yeah, and you can't build characters because those characters aren't going to be on hand. I mean, you can, you know, back in the day, you got Hulk Hogan can show up and run his mouth for a little bit, jump in the ring and do his little thing and fight and, you know, do the thing that a wrestler, because it's all choreographed, you know. And if you get hurt, you get hurt because you fall or you hurt, you know, just like if you're a stuntman or you with Cirque du Soleil or something like that, you know. I mean, you get hurt because of mistakes. And I think that when you fight, and it's impossible to get those characters out there and keep them out there because you can't continuously fight. It's gonna break you down eventually.
Well, and what are you gonna, like, have these contrived storylines? You know, I mean, you can't really, you know, expect all these guys to go Chael Sonnen on the mic all the time either.
No, I'll tell you what's interesting. One of the reasons that I like Dare so much is because I think they sort of do that. I mean, they don't necessarily have the, but the storyline isn't necessarily based around the fighters themselves all the time, but more around the promotion. You know, Dare is professional wrestling to me. It's ECW wrestling.
Dude, Dare is the fucking most exclusive fight club in Asia, based out of the capital, the original fight capital of the planet, Bangkok. Dare Fight Sports, game on, motherfuckers. I love Dare Fight Sports, man.
Yeah.
I fucking love Dare. Dude, anybody who watched that Iron Fist and the Joe Ray fight, Ole Larson versus Joe Ray, that fight was fucking insanely good.
The promos leading up to that fight are some of the most entertaining things I've ever seen in my life. Go back and watch all the promos. You know, watch John Nutt's promo, and then watch Larson's, and watch Joe Ray's, and the way it's all put together. What they're doing is 5 years ahead of its time. You know, if it moves on and it becomes very, very successful in the States and that sort of thing, it would be awesome. It would be very fun to watch, and I love it. But I think what this is that style is something that's going to catch on in, you know, 5 years. And the reason I believe that I like it and you like it are because when you watch so much fighting all the time, 24/7, and you see the same stuff, the same entrances, the same style, and basically every other promotion is what the UFC does, you know what I'm saying, just on a different level. When you see something come up and it's that entertaining, that's something that you crave. You're looking for that. You know what I mean? It's something completely different than anything else in the world. So it's entertaining to you, but the rest of the world, they haven't quite burned that candle down yet. You know?
I think that's why going with $125,000 for each winner in the tournament with a title to start their division is a great way to get their name out in the fight community. But the way, like you said, their build-ups, me and Lopaki have sat down with Ben Stark on this same show. The people behind that came from, I wasn't at like some club atmosphere, like entertainment business thing like that, and they nailed it. The looks, the cameras, the interviews, the TV shows, the underground game show, all that. They have brought such a new, vibrant flavor to MMA and then put on good fucking fights. And yeah, you're right. I totally agree. They're ahead of the curve. And I think selling the million-dollar tournament the way they are and getting in bed with the TV networks that they're getting in bed with, you know, now being able to broadcast in 80 countries, you know, bringing in, like, the Radisson for their sponsorships and having the press conference, if any of you guys watched it ever, you guys can find it on their YouTube. That right there stated what they're after. They want to be the biggest, baddest boy on the block, and they're not going to do it the way everybody else fucking does it. And I think with the backers they have
the financial lockdown they have and the tournament format to win $125,000, and the loser gets nothing? You mean these guys are going to fight for everything they fucking got because nobody's going through a tournament? Rick, if you're in a tournament and your final is 125 in the title or nothing, you're going to fucking murder that guy.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, leave it all out there. They're going to stop fighting to not lose, and they're going to start fighting to win.
Yeah, and that's it. And you're never going to get that in America at this point, you know, and that's what I love. You're getting paid all the way through the tournament. When you get to the finals, it's all or nothing, you know. You walk away with a championship and a contract and $125,000 in your fucking pocket. But that's going to make their finals the most exciting night of fights when every single title and weight class is up and everybody's fighting for all or nothing. You're not going to have no lay and pray motherfuckers, I guarantee it. And that's, I mean, honestly, I think that's why Dare's the best.
Yeah, I think it's a total package. But, you know, if you, like, you go and you look at the YouTube, go watch the Iron Fist Joe Ray. Go to the YouTube page. I mean, it's like 5,000 views, dude. 5,000 views. You know, you have the promos. The promos have, like, 800 views. I watch that stuff, and it's more entertaining to me than anything that's on television. I'm talking the promos, like I said. Like, I watch them over and over again, the music, the way it's all put together. It's very, very artistic, one day it'll all pop up, and people will be going back and watching, and it'll have hundreds of thousands of views, and it'll go nuts. But right now, it really, really surprised me that nobody are watching these YouTube videos at all, you know?
He's sleeping. Who the fuck is sleeping?
Dude, anybody out there, you know, first of all, we published every one of their press releases they put up on madhouse.com. You guys can find them there. But, dude, their video with Joe Ray talking shit to Ole, and then his walkout music, Joe Ray's coming, sucks to be you. I love that fucking promo, dude.
Yeah.
He's like,
amazing.
Hey.
Come snoring.
I don't know who's snoring, but, dude, I tell you right now, that's just some of the best shit talk. Swamp, Crispy, or Creepy Chris, and like Rick, so you understand, they give all these guys nicknames and shit and like profiles. It's great. I just posted on your wall the fight we're talking about and one of their promo videos to kind of give you a feel. But their videos or their countdown photos every day for 64 days with some of the coolest photos you could find anywhere.
Well, I'm after Stark. I've been after Stark for past couple of months. We've been going back and forth and talking, and I'm trying every way in the world. My bucket list goal is get over there in 2014 and get this done, man. Get over there and be live at their event. So.
Hey, where do I find the promo video?
I'm
on YouTube, sir.
Dad, you want me just to shoot you?
It's long. Yeah.
Okay. Who's snoring? Lepaki.
Somebody.
I'm in.
Pass the fuck out,
Lepaki, pass out, bag.
Oh. Snoring go away? Snoring went away because I muted his ass. I do.
Okay, good. There we go. Yeah. Hey, he fell asleep just like his football team, the Beavers, did on the field today.
Yeah, man, I'll share them videos, them promos. Get some more people looking at them, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to just send you their whole channel, man, because the fights are on there, their promos are on there. Dude, they got a promo that's so sick. Dude, it's just the chicks like this. And it's the head of their – she's the head of fighter relations. I forget her name, and I'm so sorry. But
is the chick smoking a cigar?
Yeah, she's smoking a big 1-inch fat cigar, dude. That's how gangster they are. Dude,
Dude, their promos for their TV shows, last season's TV shows were just off the hook. Each week they fought at this club, and each week, like, just amazing. Because these fighters, first of all, like, they don't just walk-ins and shit aren't like you think, man. Like, season one, the guy, you walk through the crowd by yourself. You don't got no entourage. You walk through a big, huge light bar. You're on a stage above the crowd. You jump down into the crowd. You walk into the cage. And in season one, they would face you off back-to-back like fucking old-school fighters, like gunslingers, and you take 10 paces, turn, and fight. I mean, they just do cool shit like that. You know, the first season was in a cage. It felt like there was too much lame prey, so the second season they went with a smaller ring. And there, you ain't running from your fucking partner, the fighter in here. You're going to fight these fights. And I'm telling you what, Joe Ray, Iron Fist, dude, Paul, amazing, amazing fight. Joe Ray's coming. Sucks to be you. And hey, just so you know, there's still to fill fight spots for January's card and for the first round of the tournament, folks.
Check out the promo, Best of Asian MMA, live from Bangkok. Verify Sports is like the third one down right now. I watched that.
Oh, dude!
Two or three weeks ago, and the way that was set up, you know, it's like that promo for the movie Midnight Express years ago. That's what it all reminds me of. All that stuff reminds me of like that like 1970s like disco kind of, but it's Asian, whatever. At the same time, it's a crazy feel, man. But look at that particular one. That video to me is the best one they've got. Music, the look. It's got John Nutt going in there, like acting crazy, throwing stuff all over the place.
Hey, and let me, folks, so you guys know, first of all, John Nutt, legitimate Thai fighter. I've seen him at an event get out of the commentator's booth and fight in the co-main so they can continue the event. That's how legit he is. Ben Stark, his co-host, ridiculous coach. Run, you know, at a phenomenal gym in Thailand. They both have a lot of experience in the game.
Actually, one of my guys fought with him, like, back in 2008. I didn't know who he was or whatever. He fought, like, his second MMA fight, and I was down there in Fort Lauderdale when he did it. But he's like, yeah, he's a legit brown belt with ATT.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know, he trains with some great guys. And live from Bangkok, the first 8 episodes, folks, are on MMA Madhouse. Under the featured tab, we have Cubicle to the Cage, MMA Inside the Cage, and Live from Bangkok, all right there. All the episodes, quick links to find the greatest stuff you need for MMA. So, and if you want to check that out at any time, you can always go there. Dude, their little podcast, video cast they do covering Asian MMA, it's really good, man. It's kind of like the Rogue Show, but Asian MMA. It's insane. They tell stories about Russian strip clubs and shit. I love it. Well, shit, guys. Here in about an hour and a half, Rough 11 from China goes down. You guys, make sure you guys watch that. Hey, I'll start with you, Casey. Thank you for joining the show tonight. Why don't you give some shout-outs?
Shout-out to you guys for having me on, first off. And then, of course, to my partner, Cyrus Bees, and for MMA Inside the Cage, because, you know, my partner, he works hard, and he's running all over the place, and he's doing it, and he's, you know, keeping up the other half of the deal here. So a big shout-out to him. Shout-out to all the events that we're involved with. We talked about Super Combat, AFC, of course, Hip Show. This thing is going to be about to explode. It's going to be unbelievable. So a big shout-out to those guys, too. And, yeah, thanks for everything.
Hey, Ricky.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Rieger. Why don't you give some shout-outs so the fans know how they can follow you on social media, any sponsors you want to give love to?
Oh, right on. Thank you guys for having me again. I appreciate it. I'm on all the media sites, Instagram, Boomer925. I'm on Twitter, RBoomerRieger. I'm on Facebook. Let me give a couple shout-outs to Fight Music. Give a shout-out to Sun City, Martinez Chiropractic, SKI. I want to give a huge shout out to my boy Nate Diaz, Gracie Fighter, Lodi, fighting tomorrow on UFC. I want to give a shout out to all my friends, all my family, all my fans, Boomer Nation. I appreciate the support.
Hey, we got mad love for you. Hey, next time you see Lamar, tell him I said, what's up?
Yep, I got you. Right on, bro.
Hey, Beatdown, how about you?
Nah, man, thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for encouraging me to up my game a little bit, you know? And
your family, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Oh, I want to say good luck to Will Harris today.
Oh, yep. We talked about him down the middle. Some think Walt, some think Rochal. I know Lepaki passed out, so I'll step up and help him out. He would like to thank his sponsors, The Fleshlight. Also, he would like to thank his sponsors, Anal Farm, and his mom and dad as well.
That's fucking
that's right. Oh, and Onnit.com. I forget. We can't forget Onnit.com. Yeah.
Hey, one more. I need to give a shout-out also real quick to my wife, Jennifer. I know you've been talking a little bit with Sean Nelson, and, you know, he's going to be up there in Oregon doing the FMP show. But my wife, Jennifer, she's really been pushing and doing a lot of the stuff that's going on with the FMP, where to bring in Santa Marie Venter from South Africa over for that main event that they're doing and stuff. And my wife, she's really been working her tail off. And, you know, she had her spot. She's got her spot on MMA Inside the Cage, and she does all WMMA stuff. And man, she supports me through thick and thin, man, and she makes a lot of this stuff possible. So I had to give her a shout out too, man, because she really does so much, and I'm excited to see her because she's going to be there in the middle of the cage. She's doing the post fight interviews, and of course she does post fight interviews for the XFC also. So just really a big shout out to her, and I'm going to jump off here and go climb in bed with her right now.
Hey,
man, you are awesome.
Out.
You just made me look like a total dick. Because I just sent mine to the kitchen and make me a sandwich.
Hey, yeah, I definitely got to give a shout-out. Sean's actually in Pendleton. Derek Brunen, the matchmaker for Budo Fights, that's who's working with here in Oregon to put the card on in January. So he came down to kind of see the convention hall and all that. And a hey, big shout-out to Sean and Full Nelson Promotion and Derek for, you know, all the help that they're doing to bring MMA back to this state, because we're dying here. You know, it's great. So, yeah, dude, he's legit, dude. He's putting on a badass car, dude. I saw the convention center, and he didn't cut no fucking corners. Okay, fuck, I think that's every. Oh, Clinch, you want to get some shout-outs, buddy? Can't forget you, number one mouth guard in the business.
No, I'm good.
No, I'm good. I'm cool like that. Okay, I'll give a big shout-out for him. Big shout-out to Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, the best mouth guards in the business. Get clinched. I'm going to cut you up. Oh, hey, a big shout-out to Lepaki. Thank you for joining the show tonight. I already took care of your sponsors for you. B-Town, like always, love having you. Casey, it's truly an honor for work with you at Madhouse. Clinch, everybody.
Yes, sir.
That's a little bit of an eagle, and we're going to end this show with some more of some Downtown Brown pop fit. Eagle!
Talking shit about Detroit, I've been guilty of talking shit about all types of towns, and I realize it's stupid, because there are beautiful, awesome people in every single one of these motherfucking places. So don't talk shit. Just find the cool people, stick with them, and all the shitty people can just eat a dick.